How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tequila.
Nice.
Tequila.
Welcome to Cavs Podcast, brought to you by, what's your drink of choice here?
Tres Generaciones.
There you go. And All Day IPA. Here on Cavs Podcast, I'm Nate Smith. I am joined by Eli Kim and Chris Francis. And gentlemen, the Cavaliers are 13-0. Did any of you, so I'll start with you, Eli. Did you see this coming?
I did not. I did not think that just changing the coach would be this impactful. I think there are some schedule benefits as well, but they have played a lot of games in this, 22 days, I think. So I would say I'm very surprised and I'm hopeful that this is a case of at least building good habits for the future and not, using all of our good luck here at the beginning.
What about you, Chris? Are you surprised?
Well, seeing as how in our season preview, I predicted them to be a top seed and win the championship, things are going exactly according to plan.
Not well played, sir. No, I thought they would be better. I did not think they would be this good. I think there's a few factors. I think one of the factors is relative health coming out of training camp of their stars. I think the last year we had Mobley and Garland banged up in training camp. And then Garland got hurt real early in the season. Ty Jerome basically out after his second game. So I think health has a ton to do with it. I think the style of play has a ton to do with it. The offense is so much more dynamic and in the 21st century. And it's just been an absolute pleasure to watch. And I think everybody, the other thing is everybody is rounding into the peak age of an NBA player, early 26 is kind of when you start to plateau, and that 26 to 30 is when players are generally at their best. And most of these guys are kind of coming either in that curve or coming right up on it. And I think that helps a ton. I also think they just have a freaking ton of talent on this team, right? Eli, who has impressed you the most early in the season?
Honestly, I'd probably have to say it's Darius Garland. I did not see that coming. I think he's on a revenge tour, and he's playing super well, especially in the clutch. I think he's shooting it more confidently and letting it fly, and that's kind of what we've always wanted. We've always thought that he could be a pretty good shooter, so that's kind of out of the starters who I'm most impressed with. And if I have to go to a bench guy, it's definitely Ty Jerome. I did not see this coming, this level.
Well, how could you? He didn't even play last year, right?
Yeah, and I just think that he's so versatile, and he brings a element of size that the Cavs sorely missed out of. They needed more big playmakers, in my opinion, and I think that definitely helps.
But for sure, and I think it also helps that a lot of these guys are getting it done on both sides of the ball. Like Ty Jerome, just the steals rate is just off the chart for how well he's just ball hawking. And I will say the other player that, and Nate from the past, who traveled to the future, would shoot me for saying this, but Georges Niang actually showed up in shape, looks like the player the Cavs thought they were getting last year, is hitting his threes, is a good bench player this year. Like, he's not just a minutes eater. He's okay. Let's rephrase. He's not a bad bench player this year. Chris, who are your biggest surprises so far?
I would definitely have to agree with Eli. At least, you know, Darius Garland is the obvious one. You know, just his play is absolutely phenomenal. You know, like, I was looking, I think he's averaging around like a 5 BPM right now, which is incredible for him. So I think that would be probably near a career best, close to a career best. So, but you know, I'm going to go, I got to go stick up for my guy, Caris LeVert. Come on, you know, Tyre Jerome obviously is another great answer. You know, I'm not going to dispute that, but Caris LeVert, man, like, as good as Ty Jerome has been, Caris LeVert has probably been just as good. And, you know, like, it's funny that, you know, going back kind of to Eli's point, what a difference a coach makes. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, one of the things that the stats say that jumps off the page immediately, you know, with all the guys we're talking about, is the guard play that the Cavs are getting right now is probably the best in the NBA. Like, the only team that I can think of that has a better guard rotation right now would be either Boston or Golden State, right?
I would say top to bottom, the Cavs are probably
one through ahead four. If you take Ty Jerome, Caris LeVert, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, is that not the best four?
But I don't go one through four. I go one through five because Sam Merrill is playing a ton of minutes for them, right?
Sure. No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So top five, you know, who are the best?
No one in the NBA has a better five guard rotation, right? There's nobody.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
There's arguments at four. There's none at five. And you can throw Isaac Okoro in there a little bit because he plays a little bit of guard, although he's mostly been at the three this year. And he's been really good. He's shooting 49% from three, which is like, did anybody see that coming? What Isaac Okoro's net rating is what, plus 22? Isn't he like leading the team in net rating right now? No, that would be Ty Jerome, obviously. But he's number two in net rating on the team. Like,
No, NBA.com. Yeah, NBA.com has him at six.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you are correct.
No, I mean, he's been just solid. He's definitely been solid. Yeah. There you go. He's been solid, but yeah.
And it's just been a revelation. So let's take it back. Talk about the Philly game that we watched last night. Did either of you guys, Chris, did you have a doubt they were going to lose that game or win that game? Like, I had no doubts that they were going to win that game.
Even a little bit. I mean, a little bit, because, I mean, Philly's desperate for a win. Cavs are playing a lot of games. They were on the road, you know, and so, and also, you know, Cavs are, I think, a little bit of this stretch, a little bit of the games, like, you know, they'll have their dominant games, but a lot of the games have been these like scratchy grindy, you know, grind them games, you know, and that's kind of what last night was. It was basically grind it out for three quarters and then let the brilliance of Donovan Mitchell take over.
Reminded me of, and I think I, what do you call something that you post on Blue Sky? Is it a skeet? I don't know, because I'm not on the Twitter, but I posted on the Blue Sky. It was a very LeBron and Kyrie line that Donovan and Darius had, and it was also a very Kyrie and LeBron game where they just kind of coast for three and a half quarters and then take it over. Like, any argument there, Eli? Did you think they were going to win the whole time?
I mean, I always think that if you're going to lose, it's probably like an undermanned team. So I was a little nervous and thought it was like the perfect trap game.
Yeah.
That being said, I in the fourth quarter or in the second half when they turned around after they retook the lead, I didn't have a doubt after that, to be honest.
No, I'm with you. And there was a lot of heroes last night. Obviously, biggest hero, Darius Garland, 25 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 turnovers, but just, again, how many times have we seen him just taking over the game at the end of the fourth quarter? And like, even Donovan Mitchell's deferring to him at the end of the fourth quarter, right? He was amazing yet again. Another guy, obviously Donovan, base 9 triple-double with 23 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 assists.
Did you see my message to you, Nate?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. So you made a comment on the live thread that he went for the triple-double and got screwed by it. So he addressed it in the post-game and apologized for it.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, he did. It was funny. That's hilarious. So, like, in the post-game, he's like, he apologized to the fans and teammates. He'll never do it again.
Well, I mean, it is not the Darius Miles missing a rebound. No, Ricky Davis. That's what it was. Ricky Davis. missing his own shot. Classic. So he could get the rebound.
Classic.
But I think the most surprising part of that is he's never had a triple-double. I thought he definitely has had
that. Is crazy.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
That's nuts. Yeah. But just jumping back into the box score, the next guy that really, obviously, Ty Jerome, again, to me, just gave him a shot in the arm in the early in the fourth quarter. Only 8 points, 2 turnovers, minus 8. But they just, there's like an energy now when he comes in the game. And like, everybody kind of raises their play a little bit. I feel like he's getting a reputation. I can't remember who called him the microwave, which I'm going to call him the convection oven. That's my nickname for Ty Jerome.
Why not the air fryer?
Well, that's what a convection. Yeah, the air fryer. There you go. I mean, I have the Cuisinart air fryer convection oven, all in one. So, yeah, I'm going to call him the Cuisinart. That's what I'm going to call him.
Well, he's the quintessential Cavalier is what he is, because he won a national championship with UVA.
That's true. He was was he National Player of the Year? I did not realize that.
Was he? He might have been. He might have been.
I think he was.
Yeah, he might have been. He was good in college. Yeah. Also, that's the thing. You know what I noticed is that what I noticed in relation to Ty Jerome and Sam Merrill, and it's interesting, Sam, like, this is very interesting with Sam Merrill, too. I'm glad you brought him up. Is that there must be some prior relationship between Donovan Mitchell and Ty Jerome and Sam Merrill, because it's clear there's a camaraderie there, a prior knowledge there. I know Donovan spoke about it specifically with Jerome, but what was funny is I caught some, like, the end of the game last night. Like, what's funny is you see Donovan dapping at all the teammates up, and he stops at Merrill and has like a private word with him, and they have a laugh together. You know what I mean? It's clear, like,
is it the Utah Mormon thing?
I think it is. You know, I think it's because they might have known each other while he was in Utah or something.
He's the LDS whisperer.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe so. Maybe that's a market inefficiency. Is Donovan Mitchell's Mormon recruiting?
And with that, we'll be right back.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Eli Kim, Chris Francis, Cavaliers, 13-0. The other thing I want to talk about from last night's game, bounce back game for Jared Allen, who was pretty not good in what was Monday's game, the Bulls game?
Yep, the Bulls game.
He was pretty bad in the Bulls game and had a nice bounce back on the boards, had a big dunk. I think that's one of the beauties of this team is just that they're so deep that if somebody has a bad night, like everybody has his back. And then speaking of that, another guy who's just putting together an awesome season so far, Evan Mobley led the team in plus minus last night, 14 points, 7 rebounds, really did a nice job of getting to the line.
Evan Mobley, best plus minus among the starters.
Yeah, last night, or in general. Are you talking on the season or on the game?
On the season.
Oh,
on
wow. Season. Okay. Yeah, no, I think Evan Mobley's been an absolute revelation this year. He's averaging 18, 9 boards, 2.5 assists, and 2.5 stocks. The only quibble I have with is, and he's shooting his true shooting. What's his true shooting?
62.
Like, my only quibble with his game this year is the fact that he's turning the ball over so much. And I think the one thing I've noticed with him is he gets in trouble when he tries to do too much, but he's getting away with it because I think part of it, and I mentioned this on one of the recaps, is that he needs to learn to play at that pace and that empowerment level. And JB kind of never gave him that chance after his rookie year.
100%. So, I'm so glad you said that, because that's what's in retrospect infuriating about JB and keeping JB, is that it clearly stunted his growth as an on-ball offensive guy. Like, what the hell? Like, I don't even, I mean, I'm okay, I'm just too mad to even speak right now.
What is your analysis of Evan Mobley so far this year, Eli?
Honestly, I am still wanting some more. I feel like we see more flashes of his offense and assertiveness, but it just keeps wanting me to, want it to be way more consistent and also more frequent.
He's at a 24% usage. I feel like on this team, that's it's hard to get more than that on this team.
I agree. I do think it's coming mostly at the expense of Jared Allen, though. That's like just my anecdotal opinion about that. But
no, it's bad. I mean, that's what the statistics bear out too. So you're right on that regard.
But no, I'm with you too. It's hard for everybody to eat on this team. On every night.
Yeah, but I do think I like his confidence in shooting more. It looks like he's not afraid to take, more threes, especially to start the game. And I feel like when he makes the first one is typically when he, is a little bit more aggressive. But I'd like to still see him shoot more, and I'm glad that he's rebounding a lot better. That's definitely something that I'm excited about.
Yeah, me too. And he's not getting pushed off the block. He's finishing so much better. He's his defensive awareness is so much better. And the Cavs team defense has just been, like, when they're locked in, they are on a string, and it doesn't matter who's on the floor. Like,
yeah, and I do want to give one shout out that's a bit overlooked, is he's actually shooting free throws a lot better.
His touch has been much better at the line.
Yeah, I always felt like whenever he got to the line, he would always only make one. But now this year, I definitely noticed that he's shooting better from the line, and actually just looked it up. He is shooting like over 80%.
Yeah, 81% at over 6 attempts a game. Like, you can't really ask for much more. I mean, those are good numbers.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's breaking out. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that's happening. He's finally breaking out, and he's finally got a mature, young man's body, like early 20s instead of a teenager body, like a 20-year-old body instead. So he's getting pushed off the line, like you said, Nate. You know, I totally agree with that observation. He's just not, he's finally like firming up and not getting pushed off his spot, you know? And
yeah.
He's also able to go up strong. Like you said, he's finishing better because he's able to go up straight up and strong through contact. Cause like that was his problem, is that contact would knock him off and throw off his, you know, his balance and his ability to judge the shot, you know?
Well, and didn't he have a knee injury in training camp last year?
Surgery.
Yeah. Surgery. Yeah. I feel like he is so much more explosive this year.
Finishing around
the basket, like he's jumping from further away. He's getting more verticality.
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, so to me, what's crazy is like, was JB that bad? Like, was really JB that bad? Because is this all just Kenny Atkinson unlocking everybody? Is that just what happened? Is that all that could happen?
Here's the thing, Chris. Everything that happens to you in your life brings you to the point that you are now. Maybe they had to go through that with JB to be who they are now. But I did read a headline today that said Donovan Mitchell was not locked in, quote unquote, last season because of JB Bickerstaff. And do we all think they should have probably moved on from JB a year sooner than they did? Yes. But the other side of that is maybe they had to go through it to get to where they're at now, right?
I kind of agree. I think if they didn't go through that season with JB, maybe they aren't as receptive to a new voice last year, right? Like they needed to be like, oh my gosh, we're going under this, you know, guy who's not making us better, who doesn't inspire us as much as we should be. And I think because of that, like, we're seeing the early returns. You know, I think we would have been begging for Okoro. We've been begging for Dean Wade to just do the little things, like cut from the weak side. And I feel like this year, I mean, it's 13 games, don't get me wrong, but they're always moving. The offense is always moving. And those are kind of the little things that I bet that without going through that experience that they're as receptive to. Coming into this season.
Oh, there's so many little things. Like
that's actually a great point. That's actually a great point, because what's interesting is that what the consistent thing that all of the interviews and all the press conferences, all the guys are talking about this season is how connected they are, how high the chemistry is. And to me, you guys are making a compelling argument about like, the thing that they're taking, that's the thing, is that this team this year, and the reason why they're 13-0 is because basically they're taking the coaching without question this year. They're saying, Kenny Atkinson, tell us how to get better. Okay, this is your plan. We're going to follow it without question. We're not going to ask any questions. We're just going to follow the coaching, accept the coaching, and see what happens. And this is what happened.
Well, and I certainly think that the way they've started is like that
reinforcing.
He's bought a lot of credibility that's going to help him later in the season and in the playoffs.
100% agree.
Yeah. The other thing, let's talk about some of the other little things that Kenny Atkinson does. He knows how to use challenges. Like, that was always something that drove me up the GD wall with JB. He didn't care about him. He was like, I don't care. I don't need to use this challenge. It's like, and I feel like the Cavs probably were 1 or 2 points a game sometimes behind because of the way they use challenges. But because of the way that they didn't get extra possessions and extra points out of coaches' challenges. That's just a little thing that they did. Also, every team in the league knew their out-of-bounds plays, which they'd been running for the same 3-4 years, and they were terrible. Like, I haven't seen these out-of-bounds plays that was like, how many times did JB call a timeout in seasons past and they just end up with a turnover out of the timeout? Like, I felt like he had to lead the league in turnovers out of timeouts, you know, T-O-O-T-O, two-toe.
Well, also, I was about to say, how does it feel to know that when we inbound the ball, it's not like nervous energy? You know, and I think the other thing that Atkinson's done a great job is he's not falling into the temptation of running guys into the ground. I don't know off the top of my head, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone's gone over 40 minutes in regulation yet this season.
No, I don't think that's happened at all. That's actually a great – I bet the high is around 35. I think a couple times –
not even close.
No, I know Mobley's gotten to 35.
Oh, you mean the high. You mean the actual high. I thought you meant the average.
No, not the average. No, I was just talking about the high.
What do you guys think the highest average is?
Well, I got the stats in front of me. So.
You bastard.
If I had a guess, I don't have it in front of me. I would say it's like 34 minutes for probably Mobley.
Too high. 31.
Wow. That's a lot lower than I thought, to be honest.
It's so great.
No, that's an excellent point, Eli. Like, he's managing the minutes so well. He's using the bench. You know, finally, Sam Merrill's unleashed. See, that's the thing is, what's funny about Sam Merrill, he's not even playing well. He hasn't played well at all this season. Like, he was so much better last year. He hasn't really gotten off to the hot start, but, like, the fact that Kenny Atkinson just tells him, like, you're getting a guaranteed 10 minutes a game. You're going to get your 10 minutes no matter what, dude.
Well, and he had a few stinker games from shooting early that really have tanked his averages, but he's kind of like slowly ramping back up.
He is, exactly. He's starting to get hot. He's starting to get hotter, and the defense has actually been surprisingly solid. Like, he's actually not getting bull. Like, he's got some strength to him. He's not very quick, but he can hold.
Nobody has good hands.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah.
Like, so, the Cavs have done such a good job of playing the passing lanes this year and having a hand in the passing lane all the time. And, like, Darius Garland that weak side steal on the ball kickouts has been so good. And let's not even talk about, like, Ty Jerome's just ability to get these multiple 3-4 steal stretches in, like, 20 minutes. It just changes the whole game. Like, teams don't know where the Cavs are coming from, right? It's so fun to watch.
Yeah, Dean Wade, 2% steal rate. That's unreal. It's unreal. Oh. And that was another thing I was just going to say, you know, kind of piggybacking off of you guys about coaching. One of the things that he unlocked, Kenny Atkinson has unlocked, is and experimented with, is Dean Wade at the five.
Well, you know, they kind of have to because they don't have another big.
You're right. No, exactly. Because I agree with you had mentioned earlier, and I co-sign it completely. If there is a critique about this season, it's that we need help on the front line. It can't be just Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, you know, every night, you know, and that's it. You know what I mean? Dean Wade has. Finding minutes at the five with Dean Wade and finding minutes, you know, with the small ball, all offense lineup, you know, the way that Kenny Atkinson's experimenting with that, I think is going to, you know, I think that's, you know, it won us a game, you know, that one lineup, you know, with Dean Wade at the five won us a game because they were able to make a run with that lineup. So just food for thought, you know?
Bo shizzle, my brizzle. sorry, I was just channeling my inner Snoop Lion there. But honestly, Dean Wade's been rebounding well, and Georges Niang has been a solid rebounder, which helps. Then you can play a Wade-Niang lineup because Wade is good enough on D, plus they have all these super switchy mid-sized players. Like,
Yeah, see, and Dean Wade at the five makes an Okoro lineup viable in that. You know, makes
right.
Dean Wade makes a Niang Okoro lineup viable. He makes right. both guys viable.
Right. And Okoro actually has been really good at, you know, his defensive, his plus minus has been very good. I don't know if that's just a product of playing with the starters and the bench, but he has done a really nice job of a few things. He's really good at getting guys off their rhythm, I feel like, defensively. I also think the fact that he's not playing a boatload of minutes lets him not worry about foul trouble. And it's the same thing for Georges Niang and Sam Merrill. Like, they have pretty high foul rates per 100 possessions. Like, they're at five, Merrill and Okoro at five, and Niang is at six. But it works because the Cavs are so deep, it doesn't matter. Like, they can be aggressive and not worry about foul trouble, which helps them a ton. And it's the same thing, like, all the players. I think that helps Ty Jerome a ton.
That was a Kenny Atkinson idea. One of his ideas that he brought over from the French national team was bigger rotations, shorter stints, shorter minutes, basically.
And being aggressive in those minutes, right?
Exactly. Especially on the defensive end. He said, yes, yeah. Exactly. So the European model is more substitutions, bigger rotations, so you could expend more energy on defense.
Yeah.
And so that's why the defense has held up in spite of all of the offensive, you know, generation that's been happening. The offensive, you know, the skewing of the team towards offense,
sure.
The defense hasn't been lost because essentially, you know, he's keeping minutes low and he's using a rotation and guys are and like you were saying with the passing lanes, why is the steal rate up? Guys are fresher. Guys are putting more effort in.
Yeah, for sure. And that's really to me been the. Are the Cavs leading the league in steals, Chris? I feel like this is our first
action.
Request for hot Googling action. We'll research that and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Cavs, a podcast. Chris Francis, that's not me. That's the guy who's about to talk about steals. Eli Kim, I'm Nate Smith. The Cavs are 13-0. Ties the record for the longest winning streak in Cavs history, I believe. And I think it also has tied the streak for the longest winning streak for a coach to start his career with a team.
They're entering the history books now. Like now everything, now what they're doing is breaking historic records.
Right. So,
yeah. It's amazing.
Right.
So I got some from break. I got some Cavs trivia for you gentlemen.
Yeah. Chris's computer almost overheated from the hot Googling action.
That's right. I had to calm it down. So
he had that Claude haiku going, getting the large language model working.
All right, where do you think the Cavs rank in the NBA in terms of steals per game?
Per game or per 100 possessions?
Per game.
Well, yeah, it would be per game. I think they're number one, is my guess.
Eli?
I think they're third.
Yes, it's close, but neither of you got the exact number. They are top five. They are fifth in the NBA in steals per game at 9.7 per game.
Okay. Where are they points off turnovers? Do you have that one handy?
Well, before I get to that, what I wanted to say was that last year they ranked 19th in steals. So they've made a pretty good leap. Now, your question was points off turnovers. Okay. So we have... here we go. So where do you think they rank, gentlemen, in percentage of points off turnovers in the NBA?
I think number one.
Eli?
Since they're only steals, I'll say they're third in points off turnover.
Oh, you guys are so close. They are number two.
We are number two.
They are number two in the NBA in percentages of points scored off turnovers.
And interesting.
No, I mean, number one.
Oklahoma City.
Well, that
and they
that
also tracks. Lead. They also lead the league, I believe, in steals per game at 12.7.
Yeah, and
that makes sense.
Yeah, and are they leading in net rating too? I feel like they are. Yeah.
Yes, I believe they're number one, and the Cavs are number two or three in net rating. Yes.
Yeah, it's got to be a nightmare for Adam Silver. Thinking about that finals matchup.
He tried to rig it for the Knicks and Lakers, but at what cost?
I feel like the Knicks totally zigged when the best teams are zagging to get deeper, and they got less deep, and it's totally biting them in the butt. And I am so here for it.
So what do you guys make much of the fact that there's only two teams in the Eastern Conference over 500?
That would be the Cavs and the Celtics?
Yes.
I do make a lot of that fact because I think the East has a lot of dumb teams. Let's just say that. I don't know. What about you, Eli? Like, is it parity or is it the East is not as good?
Secondarily, the question is, what do you guys think about the Sixers and Bucks? Because that's really what the real question's about, isn't it?
I mean, the Sixers are idiots. Like, why? They have not made smart decisions. Right? Like, they've jettisoned young players, young athletic players, and brought in guys like that are always hurt, like Paul George. And probably the biggest diva in the NBA right now, which is saying something because he's eclipsed James Harden, is Joel Embiid. That whole thing where you come out and publicly say you're not playing in back-to-backs, like, that is a terrible look. Like, I just feel like they have moried themselves to death, and they've made very dumb decisions, and I'm totally happy about it. But I also think, you know, when you have a bunch of injury-prone players on your team and they're all hurt, like, yeah, this is what you're going to get. But you went out and signed those guys. You knew they were all injury-prone, right? I don't know. I'm just ranting.
Yeah. I mean, just to kind of go back to the main question, though, I do think it's kind of odd how bad the whole East has been. I do think it doesn't hurt. Help that obviously the Knicks have started slow. The Bucks have been like atrocious. Like, it's not like they're any of their key guys are missing a ton of games.
Well, Middleton.
Do either of you think they blow it up?
I think they're going to have to.
Yeah, I think they don't have a choice. But also, I think it doesn't help that the Celtics and Cavs just haven't dominant, so everyone on the Eastern slate that they're playing, you know, like
are you watching no Formula One racing?
No, it's this Thursday night football game.
Are you there live?
No, I'm not. But if it sounds like I am, that'd be cooler, right?
I mean, sure. Sorry, keep going. I apologize.
No, you're good. But that being said, it is kind of odd that disparity is that large. I thought the East was actually going to add talent after those trades this offseason, you know, getting, Cat to the East and Paul George leaving, you know, L.A. So, but it's interesting that so far it hasn't translated to that at all.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, the Bucks are totally hosed. I think that Lillard trade absolutely screwed them. because it gave them an old guy who can't defend. It kneecapped their depth. Oh, and it gave the Celtics Drew Holiday. Like, it was a three strikes deal. And they just have no depth. They're too old outside of Giannis. Like, it's Giannis, Porter, and then you got Brooke Lopez is too old. You got Dame is too old, can't guard anybody. You got Middleton, can't even get on the floor. Like, who else do they have?
Where's Giannis going? Where's Giannis
Miami.
Going?
Miami.
For what, though? Like, what is...
Jimmy Butler? I don't know.
That, like, Miami doesn't have this huge war chest.
There had to be another guy in the equation, right?
Yeah, I would think Tyler Herro and maybe Jaime Vasquez and draft picks.
So Tyler Herro apparently is having a bounce back season.
He is, yeah. He scored a ton of points the other night, but they can't win, right? And part of that is...
It doesn't really matter in the East, though.
Well, that is true. Yeah, it's very interesting. I don't know. I think the Warriors would be my take for the dark horse. I think the commissioner would love to get Giannis to the Warriors. I think that...
Well, that's a long-standing rumor, hasn't it been?
Right. Yeah, and I think they could make a trade around Kuminga and Wiggins and a bunch of draft picks that would make sense financially for both teams. And then, like, where does Dame end up? It would be the next domino there, right?
Right. Who do you think? What about that? Where do you think Dame could go? I mean,
I think Dame is more likely to end up in Miami than Giannis.
That's what I was just going to say. What about you, Eli?
I don't want Miami to get anyone good. It's not fair.
I don't either. I'm enjoying their mediocrity right now.
Although I would like Kevin Love back. He'd be best vibes guy to roll up.
The 15th guy. I'm glad you're on board with that agenda, Eli. I'm pleased to hear that.
Yeah, although he's under contract through next season, right? Like, it's going to be hard for him to get a buyout, right? Yeah, and I don't think, like, it's going to be a long season, but right now, you don't even talk about making any changes to what the Cavs roster is right now. Like, it's the old adage from Bull Durham, you don't F with a streak, right?
The only question is who they bring in for the 15th guy.
Like, I mean, I haven't washed my underwear for a month, so.
Stop. Wow.
Like, I won't wash these Cavalier
You're gonna get us an explicit rating because of that comment.
Of course, I've washed my underwear. Come on.
The need to clarify that.
That was kind of
suspicious, Nate.
it was a trick question. I don't wear underwear. I just go commando in my Cavalier pajama pants.
Wow. Can we get the Cavs org on board with, like, get you some, like, new pajama pants sponsorship or something?
Oh, absolutely. Me undies.
Yes, exactly.
Cavaliers pants on me undies. Yeah. No, I mean, you don't mess with a streak. You don't even, like...
How long is it going to last?
I don't want to talk. We don't talk about that, Chris. All I care about is winning the next game. Speaking of which, it is a rematch with the Bulls. And the Bulls game Monday was a pretty darn good game, right? Like, they gave the Cavs all they could handle right till the end.
They did, but, I mean, it's Zach LaVine, Vucevic, and nobody.
They got Kobe White. They got
They got a solid.
They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything in that game. Come on, man.
I'm okay. Now I gotta go look at the box score. I feel like you're challenging my my stat manhood here.
I am. Absolutely.
No, actually, they had Patrick Williams. They had three 20-point scorers. Kobe White had 20. Dosamu had 10. They had six guys in double figures. Like, oh, that's the other guy they got. They got Giddey. Giddey has been really good for them, actually.
Giddey's actually been awful for them.
What?
He's a stat stuffer, low in, like negative impact guy.
big stats on a bad team.
Yep. Totally.
Well, that might be that whole team might be big stats on a bad team. Like,
that's actually true. I don't think any Bulls fan would even argue with you on that.
Yeah, no, I feel like they've got a lot of guys on that team that they're basically just featuring to trade. You know, that's LaVine, that's Vucevic. They're just trying to build those guys' value so they can ship them off.
Except they refuse to trade them.
Well, that's also true. They are run by not smart people. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing that you're seeing in the East of who is rising, and not just the East, the whole league. The teams that are rising are the teams that have drafted well, that have built their teams, and the teams, I mean, I know this is obvious, but the teams that are falling are the teams that have made terrible decisions in the draft and the way
they... Are you saying there's a new meta in the NBA?
No, tell me what I'm saying, because I...
Are you saying the new meta, like, in terms of team, in terms of building a team, in terms of organization, how an organization would build a team, should be now more focused on accumulating talent that not necessarily is top five talent, but accumulating as much top 50, top 100 talent as you possibly could?
I think we're still seeing whether that's going to play out that way. It's very different in the regular season than the playoffs. That's going to be the crucible there, right? It's an interesting question. I mean, the Cavs are winning that way. Oklahoma's winning that way. It's very interesting because the Cavs did it very much a different way than Oklahoma City did it. Oklahoma City did it by packaging Durant and Russell Westbrook and Paul George for a boatload of draft picks. And they just basically controlled 4 years of drafts. And now all those guys are maturing and look really dang good. Whereas the Cavs have built their squad through really smart trades, one really good draft pick, well, two really good draft picks in Garland and Mobley, and then just building out the edges of their roster around Donovan Mitchell. You know, they got Sam Merrill, they got Georges Niang, they got
Ty Jerome,
Dean Wade. They're winning at the margins with building that roster.
Oh, we should throw Craig Porter. Shout out to Craig Porter Jr.,
who had a nice game against... I love the fact that he stepped right in for Sam Merrill and had a nice game. Like, I think he would be getting major run for... I think he would be a rotation piece for almost any other team in the league right now.
I'd agree.
It's very interesting the way the team building is going on in the NBA, and if you look at the two best teams in the league right now.
Does Eli have thoughts?
I'm sure he does, but
yep.
He's at the races.
Well, I actually do think, I think the key thing for OKC actually is that didn't they get SGA in that trade?
They did, yep. Yeah. The Paul George trade.
Yep, so they, you know, that's, I feel like he's probably their most important piece. Thank goodness that they still kind of always drafted kind of talent wise versus fit wise. And, you know, I think Presti is a great asset accumulator, and, you know, it's just about taking chances and getting as many chances to get top end talent as possible. So they definitely built it differently from the Cavs, where I feel like the Cavs, after kind of getting Garland and having that 1 year where they fell short of the play, and they've kind of been full gas on trying to be competitive from that moment. So it's a little bit different, where both teams kind of had different paths, but I think they're kind of on the same, you know, track as of this second.
Yeah, I mean, I think getting the third pick in the draft helped a ton. Also, the Cavs really hit the lottery on a couple trades too. Like the Lauri Markkanen trade was a home run for them. And then the, obviously the Jared Allen trade was a ridiculously good trade. You know, that's a real opportunity that the Cavs seized, and it credit to Kobe Altman. I feel like Kobe Altman won't win GM of the year, but he should, and it shouldn't be for the work he did this year. It should be for the work he did the last 3 or 4 years. So I don't know.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis, Eli Kim. We're talking Cavs, 13-0. Chris, are you excited at all for the NBA Cup?
Absolutely. Here's my hot take.
Are you eating?
Yes, I am. Sorry. I had to sober up a little bit. So, because I'm a lightweight. So, no, what I was going to say is my hot take is the NBA Cup is the most important championship in the NBA.
What?
That's right. It's going to become the equivalent. So the analogy that I used was that it's as if they took the model of NASCAR, where NASCAR, the most important race of the season is the first race. Like, that's the most important, like the most prestigious, significant race of their season happens in the first race. So I think the NBA Cup has become that. Just look at the game. Look at the game that happened the other night with Golden State and Dallas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Come on. Look, did you see that game? That game was amazing. How badly did the teams want to win the NBA Cup?
The Knicks-Sixers game was really good the other night.
There you go. There you go. So
I also can't tell if you're gaslighting me or not. So, Eli, what's your take on this?
I think the NBA Cup is worthless. So that's my opinion. Because I don't want to give the Lakers all the credit in the world for winning the first one, you know?
the greatest banner ever hung in the Staples Center. Okay, well, when is the Cavs' first NBA Cup game? Is it Friday?
Yeah, it's against the Bulls.
Oh, that should be fun. Did you guys see Atlanta beating Boston the other night in their NBA Cup game?
Yeah,
that's got to be big for the Cavs. And the great, my just absolute joyous Schnaudenfreude, the fraud, Trae Young, was hurt, and that's why they won.
Whoa, and, really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. And Hoops Hype has said the market for Trae Young right now is zero, which I love so much.
I thought Atlanta was playing fairly well.
They are, but they played apparently even better without him. So, interesting.
Well, that's because, so what's interesting, Dyson Daniels apparently has been breaking out in Atlanta, much to the...
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Much to the dismay of... So, David Griffin, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Nothing good.
Yeah, I don't know. What was the story there with David Griffin? He released him or traded him?
Traded him.
Yeah.
So what was he thinking?
I mean, what about the Bucks and Marchand Beauchamp? They're trying to get rid of him. And boy, it would be nice if they had some young talent. But yeah. Yeah, the Pelicans are in a weird spot. Like, they're in that worst spot in the NBA, like right at the end of the playoff standings, and too many high salaries and no real way to rebuild. Like, I feel like Brandon Ingram is a guy nobody wants to trade for, but you almost can't not extend him, right? Like, that's such a weird contract.
Well, they have to extend him because we all assume Zion's gone, right?
I don't know. Who wants Zion? He's such a pain in the butt. Although I could see Zion.
The Nets.
Yeah, I was literally about to say that. Who, the Nets? The Nets were a little feisty the other day. The Nets still got some players.
I think Cam Thomas is legit. That's one of the takeaways. I think he looks like a legitimate player.
That's a hot take. What makes you think that?
He certainly did the other night.
Yeah, I feel like his scoring is, I mean, it's been kind of, everyone says it's pretty empty, but I actually thought, you know, I think he can do it at a high level. It's a legit tool. And then if I have to jump in and say there's another team or, you know, player that surprises me a lot, it's probably the Rockets. I've always been an Alperen Sengun lover, but I think he really has stepped up his game this year, his impact. His counting stats might not be as good, but I do feel like just watching, he seems to be a more impactful player this year.
So I've heard rumors that he's kind of getting backburnered by Ime. Is that the impression you got watching them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it might be a cultural thing, though. He is a Euro, so I feel like there might be a cultural clash there. But I think... it'll be interesting. I think if the Rockets play more through him, they're a better team, and so far they have. But doesn't like him.
Yes. So let me put it this way: is that when people are talking about trades in terms of the Rockets, Alperen Sengun seems to be the guy that's available. So make of that what you will.
I don't think they're going to trade him, though. I think Ime probably wants to trade him, but I don't think
BPM of 6.5. Like, you'd be a lunatic to trade him.
Apparently, Ime hates him.
Well, there's a reason that the Celtics won a championship after Ime left.
That's scalding hot tea you just...
That's none of my business. Yeah, I mean, I think of... I don't think Ime... Ime Udoka, the way that whole Celtics situation went down, like, he does not strike me as a quality person. Like, he's not a person I would want working for me, just reading all the details of that whole Celtics situation. And he's not a person that I would have a lot of trust in as a leader. So it'll be interesting. Of course, Tillman Fertitta owns that team, so who knows? Of course, most NBA owners are not people that I would probably be big fans of in day-to-day life either. So who knows? Interesting about Alperen Sengun, though. I think you guys are onto something. Like, they're winning despite Ime, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, they have a lot of talent. They got, what? I mean, Jalen Green is terrible, but, you know, Smith and...
Reed Shepard has barely touched the court. What do you make of that?
I think that's weird. I think he should be playing more than Jalen Green.
Yeah, well, I mean, it also helps that, you know, they have Fred VanVleet is really good. Like, they have a lot of good players. I don't know, but Sengun looks like he might, like, he's putting up stats like a, or at least winning stats like a great player. And it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. What about you, Chris? Who's surprising you in the NBA right now?
I'd have to say Golden State. You know, everybody kind of assumed they were kind of dead after last playoffs. You know, it's Steph and nobody. And they've come out, and pretty much you'd have to say there's three teams that are in the running for a championship right now, and it'd be Golden State, Boston, and the Cavs. Like, those are the three elite teams in Oklahoma State, I guess. You add them in, you know, even though they're unproven.
You mean Oklahoma City? The boys from Norman?
Actually, screw them. Screw OKC. The Sonics.
The Tacoma City Plunder, as I call them.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Perfect. Tacoma City Plunder, Golden State, Boston, and Cleveland. Those are your four contenders right there, right?
I put the Nuggets in that list. The Nuggets, I still think Jokic might still be the best player in the NBA. So I think, and when you have the best player in the NBA, you always have a shot. If you have
Jokic is the best player, but that rest of the supporting cast is kind of rough to start the year, I thought.
Yeah, but they're picking it up. I feel like they have a good top six, but it's interesting. Speaking of the rest of the supporting cast, I was so happy with like the whole who he played for last night with the Sixers, like when Eric Gordon came out and then we had Reggie Jackson and Kyle Lowry. It's just like great point guards of the 2010s.
All the stars are here tonight.
Yeah, it was fantastic. That is such a weirdly assembled team. Yeah. Who's my surprise? I don't really feel like the Warriors are surprised to me. I always felt like they were kind of setting up to this kind of one last run. And I actually think getting Klay off the team has been really big for them. The one that surprises me the most, I guess, would be I'm almost like surprised the other way, if it makes sense. Like teams that I'm surprised that the Mavs aren't better. And I'm surprised that the Pelicans are as bad as they are. Those are kind of the two that are surprising me the most. I'm not surprised that Chet Holmgren is hurt again. And I do feel like the Suns team I'm seeing, I guess if I want to pick up a positive surprise, I feel like the Suns are a dark horse in the West. Like the Suns team that we're seeing this year is the one I thought I would see last year. And now they have kind of a smarter, role distribution. Guys are sacrificing their game a little bit more. You know, you've got, who's the guy they got from Washington? It's going to drive me nuts.
Beal.
Yeah, Bradley Beal has kind of like been their defensive stopper on the perimeter, and he's kind of really bought into that role, and it's helped them. So I feel like the Suns, like, I think one of the biggest things you're seeing early in the season is the teams that are doing well are the teams with a lot of continuity. The Warriors, Suns, Thunder, Cavs, Celtics, and these teams that have had big roster shakeups, like the Knicks, the Timberwolves, the Mavericks, those are the teams that are still figuring out how to play together. And then you've got the...
I 100% agree. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, once you stack, like, 4 or 5 years together, man, you can really go deep in the playbook then, you know?
Yeah. For sure. And plus, guys are kind of in a better mental state. Like Dante DiVincenzo's was talking about how hard it was to go to Minnesota and just uproot his family. And it was like, you know, I think the vibe I got was, hey, if you're going to trade me at the beginning of the summer so I can get my frickin' life together. Don't trade me like a week before this, you know, before training camp. So it's interesting. It'll be an interesting season. But I do think the East is going to pick up a little bit. I think Miami, is Butler. How long's Butler out for? Anybody know?
I have no idea. Didn't know he was out. We've lost Eli.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Eli has been Commodus and the arena, the Coliseum has claimed Eli. So, but I don't have much more other than just, you know, I'm excited for the next step of this Cavs journey. We've got the Bulls on Friday. What's the next game after that? I'm going to pull it up here. It'd be nice if we were prepared for one of these, but that's just not who we are. Then we got the Hornets on Sunday, and then big game on Tuesday. Celtics game, Cup game. You got to think.
That's when the streak is on the line, in my opinion, right there.
Well, I think the Bulls. Yeah, I would. I actually think
it's. We're at home. Yeah. Against the Bulls. Come on.
No, the sandwich game is that Hornets game.
And the Hornets could be sneaky good.
The Hornets can be sneaky good. They've won some games. Like, they're 4-7. They've beaten some good teams. Lost the last couple, but, like.
They still got LaMelo. LaMelo's healthy. Brandon Miller's healthy. They're going to be a problem.
Yeah. And they, yeah, they're an interesting team. The other thing that's so weird is how many decent players are trapped on bad teams right now. Like you look at Bruce Brown on the Raptors. You look at some of these guys that are on the Wizards. Like, some of these teams, you look at Jeremy Grant on the Blazers. Obviously, the Pelicans have a ton of these guys. Like, how many, Lauri Markkanen on the Jazz. Like, how many of these guys are going to get traded, or is there just no juice for trades anymore in the NBA? It's so hard to trade these big salaries anymore.
Yeah, I think you're seeing the effects of the CBA also.
The tiered luxury tax.
Second apron is definitely having its effect. It's acting like a hard cap, basically. And I also think, God love you, you are an NBA sicko, because no one actually gives a shit about these players because these players aren't that good. So that's why they're stuck on shitty teams.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think there are...
Oh, it's absolutely true. Like, Lauri Markkanen is the only actually good
player. Okay, but my point is these guys, some of these guys are guys that were solid role players for very good teams, or they have these huge contracts that don't match their winning percentage. You know, it's just weird that some of these role, I guess it's always been the case that role players who play well on championship level teams get overpaid the next year, and then you realize, oh, they weren't that good, you know? So maybe it's always been this way.
They just got paid. That's all that happened. They just got paid. They just had to, they cashed in on a good season. That's all.
Yeah. No, you're right. The Judd Bushlers of the world, if you
exactly. There you go.
There's well, a that deep
was
a cut good. For
that,
you.
Yeah, that was excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. So, Chris, I feel like we're getting long in the tooth here on the podcast. And I guess we can talk about, where do you think, should we talk about where the streak gets to, or should we not, like, jinx it?
Oh, I mean, I already declared it. I mean, it's that Boston game.
Yeah.
That's for
in Boston.
In Boston.
And they're going to be up for that, and the Boston fans are going to be up for it. Like,
Oh yeah. They're going to be up. It's going to, I think you have to say that, to me, Boston has to be looking at that game thinking, yeah, this you is guys a are statement a nice game. Story. Yeah, exactly. You
well,
guys
plus
are a nice
it's a
story,
cup game.
But and we're champions. So,
and as you said, the cup is the new.
The cup is the new. Yeah, yeah. It's the cup now. It's the cup.
Yeah, I mean, I got Rosario Dawson and Michael from. God, I'm so bad with names.
I have such a crush on Rosario Dawson.
Oh, me too. But also, from The Sopranos, Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos on those commercials.
Hell yeah, dude. Like, look at the stars are all here.
The stars are aligned.
The stars are all here, man. All the stars come out. This is the NBA Cup, baby.
I love that they didn't shoot a new commercial for that. They just re-edited
last year's commercial. Yeah, it's like a lot of the video is still from the last year's commercials. Maybe I'm not reading it right, but it is coming across just like last year's commercials.
Don't slander the cup here. Come on, man. Don't slander the cup.
don't slander the cup. I mean, that's Ahsoka out there toasting the cup. So, yeah. Yeah.
I think we lost the plot. Yeah.
We did.
I got lost in a Mobius strip of bits that's all started to blend together, and I've lost the plot.
No, but
I don't even know what I'm giddy anymore.
From the wins. Like,
it is.
This has been such a damn pleasure.
Are you kidding me?
To watch this team.
This is what I said at the beginning of the season. This is shaping up to be one of the most exciting seasons in Cavalier history, and it's delivered. Like, it's delivered 10 out of 10 in spades right now.
Yeah.
They're undefeated, 13-0. You know, and now that's the thing is what's funny is now guess who's getting featured on ESPN now? Guess who's getting featured on NBA now? You know, NBA TV now. TNT, Inside the NBA. Now that this was what was promised. You know, I think this was the sales job Kenny Atkinson did, was just like, if you guys buy into the team concept, we're going to get our publicity. We're going to get our fame, you know?
Oh, for sure. And it's everybody's sacrificing. Like, that's exactly what I love. Like,
exactly.
Everybody's eating. Like, Donovan Mitchell could go score 30 points a night. Easy for a ton of teams.
His numbers taking a decent hit. Yeah.
Yeah. His per game numbers.
It really started. Yeah. Exactly. And it really started with him. Like that's what
he's the one that sacrificed the most for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's just empowered everybody else on this team.
Exactly. Like, he knew. See, that's why I think this could be really special, is because if there was one flaw in Donovan's game, is that he tended to go hero ball a little too much when the pressure was highest, right?
Yeah. Honestly, this whole thing, like, he's the one that's had to adjust the most to me. Like, yeah, he's the one that struggled with the adjustment the most at times.
Yeah, because of Darius, really. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
He had to give up the ball. Yeah.
And Mobley, because Mobley, they're giving him more usage too.
Absolutely.
And it's so pace and space. Like, everybody can be a playmaker. Jerome can be a playmaker. Karis can be a playmaker. Both the bigs can be playmakers.
Merrill is taking the ball up. Merrill's ran pick and rolls. You know,
George Niang is still empowered to bring the ball up. Like, Dean Wade brings the ball up sometimes.
Yep. No, the
Cavs don't have guys that aren't allowed to handle the ball.
Exactly. That play. And isn't that the opposite of what we had with JB?
No, it's not. It's not the opposite, but it's the next evolution of everybody's empowered. And I haven't seen a team like where everybody has that option from
the Boston
10 guys that play in a long time. Yeah. I mean, maybe Boston.
Boston's the only one. Yeah, exactly. It's Boston. Yeah, and they're the target, and you know, if we recall correctly, you know, they played them pretty. I think Cleveland gave them the hardest trouble that they had in their playoff.
I'll agree with you, and if not for injuries,
could have given them a little more trouble. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, JB would have screwed it up in Game 7, but yeah,
sure, yeah, exactly, yes.
Yeah, so I'm super excited to see where this goes. I think if trends continue, I certainly feel like the Cavs deserve 4 All-Stars right now. Like, would you agree with that? If the trend,
I'd say 3.
Would Jared Allen know?
No. Yeah. No.
He's so good though.
He's good, but I mean, it's good. The reason why he's good is because we can appreciate and understand that he plays a role on our team. You know, like that he's taking that sacrifice. It's that sacrifice piece that really we understand how much that takes, and we understand the maturity and how good he is, and all the little things he does. But when we're talking about an all-star game, all-star appearance, where the thing is more skewed towards scoring. The thing is more skewed towards showmanship being a brand for yourself, being a star.
You know, they haven't even figured out what they're doing in the All-Star game this year yet. Like, they haven't figured out.
Did they change the format?
No, they're consulting with Steph Curry is the last thing I heard. Like, what the hell does that
screw
even
mean? Screw him. What
no,
the hell?
I think it's, you know what they should do? They should get enough guys out there that they pick four captains, they make two teams, or four teams, and they just play, like, pickup game to 50. And then the first team to 50 wins, and then, you know, it's like
a little
mini All-Star
tournament. What you're kind of alluding to is like a halfway version of what they did in the rookie All-Star.
No, a full way, because that was the halfway version, right?
Well, no, because their version was like four teams or eight teams playing to 12. Like it was those quick like gym runs.
Yeah.
Basically, you got to see. That's what they should do with the All-Star game. That's the only way you're going to get guys to play hard is if it was like a gym run where they played at six or played at 12.
Yeah. Well, you can't play to six. That's like two threes.
Okay. Okay. Well, okay. So to 12.
To 21. 12.
21.
Yeah.
21 with twos and threes?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. We're solving the world's issues here, right?
We are. Like, next segment, the crisis in the Middle East.
That's right.
Let's not. Speaking of, what do you got to pitch this week? Anything good?
I'll pitch some things from my experiences here in the Northeast Ohio region.
Nice.
What I want to pitch to everybody is this is not a solicited advertisement. This is totally out of my own goodness of my own heart. Shout out to the Millennium Health Group, healthcare group. I hope I didn't butcher their name, but the Millennium Healthcare Group. It's this home healthcare business that covers the Northeast Ohio region. Who take care, they're basically, they're nurses who take care of people in their homes, you know, people who can't take care of themselves, you know, a lot of Medicare, Medicaid patients, stuff like that. So they just take care of the community and helping people with their healthcare needs. And they served with us at our food pantry.
Awesome.
This past week. Yeah. There are literally laborers that we can get people in the city of Lorain fed. The food pantry, the free food pantry there. So I want to give them a shout out because without them, you know, we don't get people in the city of Lorain fed, you know, the homeless and the people in unfortunate circumstances.
Do you have a charity that people can donate to?
Well, so Second Harvest Food Bank.
Awesome.
Second Harvest Food Bank is the main, they're the supplier of the groceries for many, many folks who cannot afford groceries in the, I think it's a national thing. You know,
yeah.
I know that they're partly a federal, they deal with federal grants. So, but yeah, they're the ones who keep people fed. And so, yeah, Second Harvest Food Bank, the church I work at is Christian Temple in Lorain, Ohio. So, we're distributors of Second Harvest Food Bank.
That's awesome.
Food. Yeah.
And I know the food bank in Cleveland, does amazing work. I know the, Akron Food Bank. I've, worked there a few times. They do awesome work in my neck of the woods in West Michigan right now. There is a charity called Kids Food Basket. So any one of those, if you're looking for, businesses to donate to, or not businesses, organizations to donate to in the holiday season. All of those are great things to donate to. So.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We're wholesome over right here.
Yeah. And if you're into that sort of thing, check with your company that you work for, because a lot of corporations will do matching donations. So
there you go. Tax benefits. We can't forget the tax benefits.
Hey, too. You know what? I'm all for it. And then my pitch is going to be a couple of public benefit corporations. The first one I want to pitch is my current AI of choice as
OpenAI is moving away from being a public benefit corporation. The company I want to pitch is called Anthropic. The Claude AI large language model, best one I've used. I do entire massive coding and document projects on there, and it's really impressive the things that you can do with it. If even if you don't know anything about, you know, what you're working on, like,
so
you,
in your professional and personal opinion, would you recommend people setting up an account and working with AI? Like, is it just the necessary evil?
No, you're gonna have to. It's there's gonna be two people. You are going to get left behind if you don't understand the technology, if you don't know how to leverage it, if you don't know the strengths and the weaknesses, and it can give you superpowers. Like, I have had projects that I've done where I've done coding projects that would take 2 weeks and 4 hours, you know, back before AI. So it's amazing technology. And the best one I've used, and I haven't tried all of them, and I want to do more research. I just don't have the time. The best one I've used is Anthropic. And by all accounts, it's a lot of former OpenAI people who didn't like Sam Altman and wanted to go form their own company. So they did. And then the other public benefit corporation I would recommend is Blue Sky, which is where everybody from Twitter has gone to after they realize it's a fascist hell site. So,
truth.
No, don't go to truth. That's even worse.
Oh, I didn't even mean it that way. I was talking about what you're saying.
I know. And, same account, old C miner on Blue Sky. Same when I used to be there. A lot of Cavs Twitter has migrated there in the last week. I don't know why. It's weird. Something happened in the world.
What it was the terms of service changed for.
But yeah, sure. That's it. I really think it was because of the pending NBA Cup. Honestly,
you're absolutely right.
Are really
I'm glad you're
on,
recognizing
on Blue Sky for the
you
NBA
mocked
Cup.
Me at first, but now you're taking me seriously.
And if you don't know, Chris, you better ask somebody. I'm just saying.
That's right. Word up.
So yeah, Bulls Friday,
let's do
Hornets
it,
Sunday, Celtics Tuesday. It's going to be a pretty fun next week for the Cavs. And we got Thanksgiving coming up in a couple of weeks. So
ooh, baby.
Pretty exciting few weeks coming up. So
let's go, baby.
As always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
So Chris and I were just talking. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Bonus segment. We were talking about the pre-Thanksgiving game. Who is it against this year?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think it's against Atlanta.
It was the Heat last year.
Yeah, right? And it was an absolute stinkathon. It was the worst game of the season.
Yeah.
But this year, they're playing Atlanta on 2 days rest. And I feel like...
I saw the schedule. It's very accommodating for the Cavs around Thanksgiving. Didn't you think so?
I think part of it is the Cavs have played as many games as anyone in the league right now.
The most, right?
Yeah.
The most. Yeah.
And they have the winningest record. Eat that, NBA.
Yeah, suck it, Adam Silver.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the Cavs have played the most games. That's crazy. They're tied with the Celtics. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Celtics just caught up yesterday.
And the Pistons have also, the 5-8 Pistons.
Good job, JB.
Hey, you know what? JB is the perfect coach for that team.
It is. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. And the Magic have also played them. Man, this is some hot counting action on Cavs the Podcast. Anyway, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I'm on the fence, but I kind of want to go. Like, I feel like it's going to be a good game.
Atlanta.
Well, no, you're right. I actually think I agree with your I agree with your feeling that is going to be a lot better game than last year.
Last year, it was the second night of a back-to-back they beat Philly in the Cup game.
Yep.
And it was against
Miami.
That
was one of their biggest wins of the season last year.
Yeah, and it was an absolute stinker. Like, they were down.
Wasn't it overtime, too?
The Philly game, it might have been. But the Miami game, they were down 28 to start the fourth quarter. Like, it was
right.
Why are we watching
this? That, yeah, that was garbage, yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like, so are you going to be in town Wednesday?
I don't know.
Well, let me know, because I feel
I feel
like it might be an opportunity.
Wait, and I'm looking at, say the Hawks, okay, yeah. Oh, God, me go, okay, so it's a road and home series with the Hawks there.
Nice. You got your boy, the Duke Brotherhood.
That's right.
Jalen Johnson in the building.
That's right. Oh, man. Oh, God. I know. I need to figure out. Because actually, so the game I was talking about going to was the Raptors one on Sunday evening.
Yeah, I'm not going to be there. I'll be back in West Michigan. So.
You bastard. Roy, we need to figure this out. We need to figure this out.
We'll figure it out. But
wait, you're going to be back for Christmas, right?
No, I'm probably not going to be back. So my next Cavs game after that is I may go to Detroit and watch them play the Pistons. But I'll probably I don't know.
Looking at the schedule, that's not anytime.
It's
soon,
like
is it?
February or something. Like
okay, yeah.
But it's like a weeknight. It's like tough. Sorry. Although weeknights are probably easier for you.
Yeah, no, I can possibly make that. I'm going to look at it right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. You said February, Detroit. Yes. Oh, at Detroit, February 5th, Wednesday night. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, we'll look at that.
I can do that. That
might be a. Maybe
18 bucks for a ticket?
Oh yeah, no. It's Detroit. They beat the Cavs record for most consecutive losses last year. Like, tickets are not flying off the shelves.
No.
And then we can go get a crumble cookie afterwards.
Oh, shit. That was a good one.
Respect, Bickerstaff family.
That's right. Crumble cookies suck. Come on.
Oh, no. I hate crumble cookies. They're enormous. The dough is raw.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's a sugar and dough bomb. Like, they're garbage.
No. At least add some. If you're going to make it that, like, you got to make it gourmet, you got to make it smaller. You know?
No, I'm not a fan of giant, oversized, undercooked food.
Yeah. Disgusting. America, wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up, America.
You know, did you hear who bought InfoWars?
Oh, the Onion did, right?
Yeah, the Onion needs to buy crumble cookies.
That's right.
They need to make an Onion cookie.
Is there a greater force for good right now than the Onion?
No, I don't know.
I don't.
I feel like I don't want to weigh in there. Like, I feel like I'm. And the force for good is food banks.
There you go. No. Okay. Okay. Well played. Okay. That was excellent. Cheers to that. Cheers to that. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving. Oh my lord!
So that's the only. See, the problem is that's my only opportunity to get to Cincinnati for family shit. So
no, I get it. I'm not. No, I would love to stick around, but we're actually coming back Saturday, and it's funny. Oh shoot! I left us on. We're still talking. So it's funny because the Charge are playing in Grand Rapids on Saturday night after Thanksgiving. And I was like, oh, that's going to be a blast. But the wife is not a fan of driving 5.5 hours.
Grand Rapids, yeah.
No. Driving 5.5 hours back from Ohio
and then
hitting a ball game that night. So
yeah, no.
But I am going to attend a Charge game at the Gold in February.
because it is such a blast. You can literally get seats.
Wait, so I live next door to the public auditorium.
No. I'm in Grand Rapids, I'm saying.
Oh, in Grand Rapids. Okay. Oh, you're seeing the charge there. Yeah.
And you can literally get seats for like $15 behind the visitor's bench. Like last year, I was like, Booby! For Booby Gibson. Nice. And we were all like, he was like giving us grins, dapping us up.
Hell yeah. Dude, Booby's awesome.
Yeah, Booby is the...
he's actually good on TV, too.
He is good.
You know, like he keeps it tight.
Honestly, I love the rotation of switching in and out AC Brad Doherty. Brad Doherty just makes me smile. I really enjoy Brad Doherty.
Yeah. Well, he's so smart about the game.
He's such a smart guy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're lucky. Honestly, the only part that sucks is Fred's gone.
Well, yeah. And John Michael does a nice job.
He does a nice job. It's just like, that's just the, my, you know, it's just like, God dang, man, Fred gone too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. My only complaint, I'll tell you off air, because I don't want to be mean, but let's just say I was not that big of a fan of Gelflings and the movie The Dark Crystal. So with that, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
So I was just one more thing. I was just talking to Chris, and there is nothing that annoys me more about the Cavalier broadcast than the fact that it is now the FanDuel Sports Network. And they run the most goddamn ridiculous parlays. I don't think the Cavs have hit one of their stupid parlays all year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just like...
Have they ever hit one? I wonder, what has happened to journalism in America? That's the story we need to know.
We know what has happened. It's been co-opted by oligarchs. But anyway.
That's right.
No, I mean, just FanDuel Sports Network. And if you are legalized gambling in America, stop. Because it is a racket. If you win too much, they literally ban you. It's like putting a money siphon on your bank account and just giving it to people who already have money. So stop doing it. It's stupid.
Cavs the blog, life advice, not just basketball.
I am so hoping that our bumper commercial at the end is like...
gambling commercial? We have no gambling commercial.
I have asked for that, but I don't know if they deliver. Held true to it. Okay. So if you get gambling commercials in... and you've stayed to the 91-minute mark of this podcast... If you get those, let us know in the ads, because I sometimes listen to these afterwards, but I don't always. It's like one in four. Who has the time?
I hate the sound of my voice, so that's what prevents me.
Well, I hate the sound of your voice too, Chris. So.
Thank you. That's love right there.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire. You lost your home. Lose your partner. And we're out.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.